This is A Marriage Story, Part 2. Press 9 at any time to return to the main menu. The clerk said to us, "If you want to change your names, just fill in the box here." We looked at each other in shock. While waiting in line for our license to be issued, we discussed the highly important aspect of marriage. My soon-to-be wife, although long-term partner, is black, part of the African diaspora, a descendant of chattel enslavement, and the brutal history that accompanied that. Our first thought was that this was an opportunity to rid her of a name that was forced upon her ancestors during time of enslavement. We talked about upsetting the tradition even more and renaming our union after my mother's maiden name. But that would have been a lifetime of telling monolingual English speakers how to pronounce it. We also had to consider that we had out-of-state property, and since marriage was banned in that state, that we needed to make our names legally look like we were next of kin, which was kind of hilarious to us because it's just before this thought we were talking about making her name Italian. All these thoughts, hard to consider in the calmest of times, happened in less than 5 minutes. We took her last name, made it our middle name, and took my existing paternally given last name. Still a challenging name for some monolinguist English speakers, but not nearly as hard as my mother's maiden name. What was lost in the shift was our former middle names, but we were bonded in love in California and in name outside of California. Our connection to each other and to our community that day meant even more than we realized in this very palace of civics, the place where we lined up and wrapped around the block, the very same gilded dome that was our sanctuary today, was the homicide scene of Supervisor Harvey Milk and Mayor George Marsconi. Murdered in cold blood just 26 years earlier, one man with an unapologetic purpose was killed. I was humbled by Milk's visionary greatness as I watched newly married couples pass in front of the Harvey Milk Memorial to capture a wedding day photo. The long arc of history shortened a bit that day. The casual impact of these two very connected moments was undeniable. And it wasn't just Harvey Milk's cry to come out that got us to this point, but we are also standing on the shoulders of Mildred and Richard Loving, of Sylvester Davis and Andrea Perez, of Tammy Rodriguez and Antoinette Pregel, and Edie Windsor and Thea Spire, and all of the other love warriors who preceded this moment. After that Valentine's Day in 2004, there were times when we looked at our state-sanctioned marriage in stride, until it was taken away. Like the time we went to South Lake Tahoe, one of us stood on the California side, and the other one stood on the other side of the state line marker in Nevada. Only one of us was married, and the other was state-sanctioned, constitutionally banned from being married. Or when we went to go see our family out of state, we'd be married when we left and unmarried when we'd arrive. But the day we did not take in stride was the reversal ruling that came out 6 months later on August 12th. I remember standing on the court steps waiting as Molly McKay, in one of her many wedding dresses, read aloud the verdict that our Valentine's Day marriage was now invalid. We continued in this state for several years, coming in and out of our hope that we had marriages and that one day we would have the 1,000-plus rights and privileges that are legally protected under this union. But on June 26, 2013, Proposition 8, in all of its ugliness and religiosity, was finally overturned. We were again eligible to marry in California. But having moved out of state to find a more affordable life, assuming that we would never be able to marry anyways, we ended up quickly packing, sold everything we had, and returned to our beloved California. I remember one of the first things we did upon the return to the state was call the clerk recorders and ask, "Are we still married?" To which the person on the other end asked in all sincerity, "Well, were you married in 2004 or in 2008? And as that was the legal determinant to see if we needed to go through the process again. We found out that we would have yet another marriage at San Francisco City Hall, and this one would finally stick. It would even go national 2 years later to the date. On June 26th in 2013, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on Hollingsworth v. Perry, which restored our marriage equality throughout California. And on June 26th in 2015, that same court struck down all state bans on same-sex marriage, declaring Clinton's Defense of Marriage Act a deprivation of the liberty of the person protected by the Fifth Amendment. Our state marriage was now federally recognized. Watch out, world, we're going global next. Our legacy that is shared by many same-sex couples of our generation is how, with all the ups and downs of securing federal marriage protection, how in the world do we determine an anniversary? Well, would you use the day and the year we met? How about the day and the year we committed and moved in together? What about our first domestic partnership? Well, what about our second domestic partnership via AB 205? We could always go with our 2004 marriage and our 2013 one, or we could go with the nationally recognized date and we'd have same marriage as many other couples. Needless to say, we landed on the year we committed and the day we will never forget, no matter if our aging memory fails us. We celebrate on Valentine's Day.